I'm honored to come and speak, and I pray that I'll be a blessing. I'm not seeing too good. I'm having to wear my dark glasses. I'm legally blind, but sometimes I can see better than at other times, but I'm not seeing very good at all. I can barely make you all out, which means you can cut up all you want, and I can't catch you at it. And you don't have to be worried about me calling you down. And so, but I've asked Pastor to read my scripture for me in Deuteronomy chapter 1, if you'll turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 1. And he's going to begin in just a minute reading in verse 21. Now the title of my message this afternoon is Don't Miss the Blessing. I'm going to give you part one now and then part two later on this evening. Now, you want to come back for part two. I can't wait to hear it, and I've heard it before. And so I want you to listen, though. There's four things that can cause you to miss God's blessing. And I don't want you to miss it at all, not one of you. So, Pastor, you come on up to the pulpit.
Yes, sir.
And he's going to begin reading in verse 21. Of Deuteronomy chapter 1.
Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. Ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, We will send men before us. They shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of every tribe, and they turned and went up into the mountain, and came unto the valley of Eshcol, and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands, and brought it down unto us, and brought us word again, and said, It is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents, and said, Because the Lord hateth us, he hath brought us forth out of this land of Egypt, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, The people is greater and taller than we, the cities are great, and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there.
Thank you, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
In this passage of Scripture, we see that the children of Israel are on the outskirts of Canaan land, the land of blessing, the land that God wanted to give them. And it was truly a good land, and they had to admit it was a good land, but they weren't willing to obey God and do God's will. Now, I'm going to tell you something just to start out with, and that is, I'm the dumbest preacher you're going to hear this weekend. But I've got a philosophy. It's all right to be dumb as long as you know you're dumb. It's just danger if you're dumb and don't know it. But I have been able to draw some simple truths out of this passage of Scripture. And the first thing that can keep you from the promised land, the land of blessing, which I don't believe is heaven. I believe the promised land is the land of blessing down here that God has for us. And we can dwell in that land of blessing if we'll obey God and do His will. Now, not all my words there. I try to get them there, but they don't all fall in. I had meningitis back October 1995. And I had brain damage. And I remember after a while, they had done many brain scans. And I remember one time the doc came to me when I got to where I could understand some things. And I had lost all my long-term memory. None of that has ever come back. I don't remember anything before October of 1995. I've had to relearn how to do everything. My wife, who I affectionately call my Donna, she taught me everything I know. Reading, writing, and kissing. My favorite subject, kissing. I like sugar. I like lipolated rather than granulated. And she is so good to me. And she has helped me so much. She's in the motel room. I'm not able to travel by myself on planes anymore. I'm too blind and too crippled to be able to get around good enough to do that. But I remember one time the doc took a picture of my brain to show me where the damage was. After he got done showing it to me, I said, "Would you give me a copy of that?" And he said, "Sure, why do you want it?" I said, "I want my wife to know I've got one." Some of you men don't have that. I have an actual copy of one. But I got very discouraged for a while. Very discouraged. When I couldn't read or write. When I couldn't even feed myself. I couldn't walk. It took me nearly 2 years to learn to walk normal. And I had to relearn so many things. And it got me discouraged. Now, discouragement a danger thing. It really is. I wrote a book, and we have a book table in the back. You might want to look at it afterwards. And I have one book that deals with discouragement and depression called Be of Good Cheer. I do have a book back there. My wife just finished writing about 3 months ago. And I wish every man here would get one for his wife. I don't believe we'd have enough to get everyone. Everyone wouldn't be able to get one, but it'd be good for you to take a gift to your wife, and she would enjoy that book. But my story is not just one, okay, Brother John just got sick, and he got over it, and everything was fine. No, I went through discouragement and depression. I really did. I know what that deep, dark, black hole of depression feels like. And it doesn't feel very good at all, I'll tell you that. And if you've ever been there, your heart goes out if you think you know somebody that is battling depression. But he warned them against discouragement. You saw that in verse 21. Fear not, neither be discouraged. He warned them because he knew discouragement would be something they would battle. Now, I want you to know that every one of us can fall prey to discouragement if not careful. Sometimes a person that claims to be a friend can cause us to be discouraged. What a sad thing is when somebody who used to be a friend or who is claiming to be a friend strikes you in the back and it hurts. And we have to be careful lest we let that discouragement seep in and stay there and turn to depression. I remember one of the things we went through also was financial difficulty. We were with a Christian medical share program. And about the time of my illness, they had a setback. And they didn't get to pay for all my medical needs. We owed thousands of dollars. And we had to come up with that money to pay doctors and hospitals and clinics. And my Donna and I sat down with them and we told this one we'd give you 15 a month and this one 25 a month and the other one maybe 20 a month. It took us 15 years to get out of medical debt. That's a long time. I remember asking my Donna, are we poor? She said, no, we're just broke. It's easier to get over broke than it is poor. And so she had to do all of that. But she taught me that we give our tithes and offerings of everything that God blessed us with. I was a pastor when this happened to me. And the church loved me enough to let me continue pastor, although they had to fill in pulpits and others for me till I got to where I could preach a little bit. And I appreciated so much. Our church grew more after my illness than it did before. Hurting people started coming to the services to find help. And lost people started coming to find the Lord. They wanted to know the Lord that I knew. And I thank the Lord that He let us do that. I remain pastoring now, after my illness, for about 5 years. And then God laid on heart of me. I wanted to share my story with others to be a help to them. So I resigned to go in evangelism. And I've enjoyed it. I have. Let me tell you, one incident took place. This was right before my Donna started traveling with me full time. And I got on plane a little bit late, and I was cutting it real close to catch my connection at the next airport. And so, by the time we got there and I got off, I had only 15 minutes to catch my other plane. And of course, I was like in Concourse A, and it was like Concourse G, plumb across the airport. But I thought, well, maybe it run late. I'll just run for it. I took off. Best I can run, I can't run very good. And I took off. I got to where the gate was, and it wasn't one of those times where the gate was by itself. It was a big room of chairs, and then there were several doors. And they would call your plane number and destination up, and you'd go through that door. I came running down through there, and this lady just getting ready to shut door. And I said, hold it, wait a minute, please, I barely made it, please let me on. She said, okay, you about missed it though. And she let me on plane. I put my luggage up and sat down in my seat. They were assigned seats, nobody sitting there, so I sat in my seat. The plane closed the door, backed up, stopped, pulled back forward, opened the door, and on walked four armed guards. They didn't have guns drawn, but they were packing heat. I thought to myself, boy, somebody trouble. I ride at me, too. Two of them came in front of me, two behind. They asked for my luggage, and I showed it them. It didn't take them long to know it. I wasn't a terror. I was a mental case. So they said, let's get off the plane. I just knew they was going to take me to jail. And so I did the only thing I knew to do. I started crying. And so one of them said to me, sir, we're not going to take you in custody. We know it was a mistake. I'm not buying it. I figure that's what they tell them all before they throw the key away. So I'm still crying as we go up the jet bridge. And this man about the age of one of my sons put his arm around me and said, sir, I promise you, we're not going to take you to jail. Now, why are you crying? I said, son, I'm crying now because I missed my plane. The lady that had let me on that plane was standing up there holding the door open and heard me say that. She said, no, sir, you haven't missed your plane. The alarm that I set off shut the whole airport down. Your plane is still over here at this other gate. I got an armed escort to my plane. Boy, God is good to me, isn't he? But discouragement can happen. And when it happens, if you're not careful, that dreadful thing can erupt at any moment of any time. And if you'll notice, he says in verse 28, "Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart." I tell you, there's nothing like the brethren to discourage you. An old drunk can cuss me up one side and down the other and wouldn't discourage me a bit. I figure he doesn't know any better. But you let one of the brethren do it and see how it feels. Our brethren have discouraged our hearts. They said the cities are walls are tall and reach to heaven. Now those walls didn't reach heaven. They may have thought they'd reach heaven, but they didn't. They tried to build a tower to heaven, and God knocked it down. And those walls didn't reach heaven either. That was exaggeration. Boy, the devil will always try to make your problems look bigger than real are. He'll try it very much. And they said, "No, over we've seen sons of Anakim there." In the book of Numbers, it describes this same incident. And there, it describes it this way. "We are as grasshoppers in their eyes." Now, that is pretty tall. I thought I would measure me a grasshopper. I live there in Rosebud, Arkansas, and we have grasshoppers on the campgrounds that I started 41 years ago. We have about 2,000 kids a summer there. And last year we had a wonderful year. We had 182 professions of faith out of that 2,000. It was a great year. Wonderful year. And so I caught a grasshopper and I had a measuring stick. And I told him if he'd hold still, I wouldn't kill him. He did, and I measured him, and he measured an inch. Well, I let him go, and then I had my Donna measure me. I'm 70 inches tall. Now, for me to look like a grasshopper in the eyes of another man, he's got to be 70 times bigger than me. I don't do math very good, so I broke me down to 6 feet. I'm not quite 6 feet, but make it easier, 6 feet. So that means he would have to be 6 times 70 bigger than me. 6 times 70, 470 feet tall. Well, I don't believe they're that tall, do you? They were about 10 feet tall. Goliath, he was one of those of that family. So, I'm telling you, exaggeration can destroy you and rob you of the blessing. Don't let it happen. Stay close to God. And when bad things happen, just get closer to the Lord and ask Him to help you. And He'll help you. Oh, I've been through some dark nights. I hope I can make it in the morning to the prayer meeting at 7:30. If I can get some sleep tonight and able to get up in the morning, I'm going to try to make it. Because one area of your life the devil will try to discourage you is prayer life. I set a goal back a couple years ago to pray for 1 hour a day. I'm not quite there every day yet, but I'm pretty close. And I pray for preachers, missionaries, evangelists. I pray for people on church roll. And God has helped me be able to pray for these people, and boy, I've been enjoying doing it. I like to rock and pray. Some people like to get on knees, and I'd rather sit and rock. I don't wear my knee pads out, but I wear my socks out. I really do. I got holes in them. I have to throw them away. And it's a blessed thing to pray and spend time with God. Don't let Him discourage you that. Don't. Now, the other thing that kept them from blessing is not only discouragement, but deceit. They sent out 12 spies. Now, we know from the book of Numbers the names of all 12 of them. They're all 12 listed there. Each one was a leader of their tribe. We only know the names of two, Joshua and Caleb, because you don't memorize the name of losers. And they, Joshua and Caleb said we can do it. The other 10 said we can't do it. And they came back. And they told them it was a good land. But they murmured in their tents and said, because the Lord hated us. God didn't hate them. That was a dirty lie. The second tool the devil used to defeat their blessings was deceit. They were murmuring in their tent. Men, let me tell you something. If you complain about your church and your pastor, and you complain about others in your house, God's listening. He hears it. Don't let Him defeat you that way. Because the Lord hated, He hath brought us forth in this place to destroy us. He hadn't brought them there to destroy them. He brought them there to bless them. And bless them He wanted to. I remember learning to tie my shoes after my illness. It took me a while before I got the knack of it. I remember my Donna giving me a smiley face for being able to tie my shoes. Here I was, 44. And then she started giving me a kiss when I did something. And I worked harder for that than I did a smiley face. Boy, is she good to me. And men, I want you to know, that God can help us. And He's never out to destroy us. He's out to bless us. If we'll depend on Him and rely on Him. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't miss the blessing. I have to sit a lot. I'm not able to stand a whole bunch because of my back. I hurt my back severely, and because of that, I have to lean quite a bit or sit quite a bit. That's why I didn't sit during song service. I didn't stand because it just hurts so bad. I don't mean to be disrespectful at all. Not at all would I ever do that. But God help me with that. I've got a pain pump in my body. It's right here under the skin. And it has two little pipes that run over to my backbone where the pain is. I've got a rod in there also, but it got to where it couldn't control it. And the Lord helps me some with that. It doesn't give me complete control, but it does give me some control of the pain. And I'm thankful for it. I can't walk through those things at the airport. They have put me through those x-ray machines. And because it would beep every time. And so, I know this, that when I depend upon the Lord and trust Him, He gives grace. Have I asked Him to take away the back pain? Sure I have. Have I asked Him to take away headaches? I have what they call seizures. And not only that, but I have, oh, I can't remember the name of it right now. I'm sorry. But I have headaches that are very severe. And I've asked God to take away that too. But He tell me no. But God can be a good God and tell me no anytime He want to. And there's two things about God that I believe. God is always good and God is always right. I believe those two things about God. And those two things, I believe, have kept me alive and functioning to make me want to brag on God, to make me want to lift Him up and show people how wonderful He is. When I begin my prayer time, I come to His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And I use them from Isaiah. And I say, thank You, Lord, for being wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Governor of the Nations. Oh, how wonderful God is. And He is in your life as well. Don't miss the blessing because of the lies of the devil. Don't do it. He is good. and He's good to you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for Your precious Word. I thank You for my precious God. Oh, what a wonderful blessing You are to me. Lord, I pray Thy Word went forth with Your power. And Lord, I pray You will keep us from being discouraged and deceived. Those things can rob us of Your blessings. May we walk in the blessing of the Lord. Lord, I pray that every man here would be blessed. His family be blessed. His household blessed. Oh, please, dear God. And I pray, Lord, help us to love our wives as we should. To love each other as we should. And to be a blessing to those around us. Lord, don't any of us be a form of discouragement to somebody else. May Your will be done. I pray in Jesus' name.